The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And it is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports. As always, we'll take your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So, Rex Road, would you like to kick us off this week with your best and worst things in the world of sports?
Yeah, I hope you guys have some light items because I'm going into world affairs and politics today. So,
oh, good.
I'm sure that will be received well. But let's go ahead and go right into it then. What the heck? For my best, I'm actually with this today. I don't try to always do themes, but it seems like it works out this way. I'm talking about two women in journalism today. So my best in sports is our friend, Isabel Krishoutian, former hockey reporter,
yep.
Did a great job covering the Washington Capitals. I got to know her way back in the day when she covered John Glennon's UVA Wahoos. Isabel, a few years ago, decided to get out of sports. She got an opportunity to work at, the Moscow Bureau initially for the Washington Post.
Yep.
She speaks fluent Russian. And I'm just, one, I'm worried for her. I'm proud of her. She is doing really important reporting right on the front lines right now for the Washington Post and the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Dangerous. It's important. It's why journalism matters. So just very proud of her. Shout out to Isabel, thinking of her, and follow her on Twitter. They had a really amazing in-depth report that she, I think, has pinned to her profile, and she's giving real-time updates. I mean, she's right there in the middle of it. So that she's my best in sports as a former sports reporter going on to more important things.
Nice.
My worst in sports, Michelle Tafoya. And I waited on this because I wanted to hear things out and I wanted to see full comments and not just, you know, little snippets on Twitter. And so a week ago, I thought about doing it, but like, you know what? I don't want to just jump all over this. That's what everybody does. So let me say first and foremost, like when Tafoya announced she, and I don't know Michelle Tafoya, but she announced she was leaving to do work in the Republican Party. Didn't bat an eye. Couldn't care less. Great. Republican Party, Democrat, Green, Libertarian, do whatever you want. It doesn't, that's fine. But the comments she's made on Colin Kaepernick have bothered me a lot. I think more than anything, the comment, you know, that she said that, and this is a snippet, but it's what she said in proper context, that quote, "It breaks my heart that kids are being taught skin color matters." And when I hear that, it makes me wonder if in all of those years as a sideline reporter, talking to more black men than anything, if she ever had a real conversation with anyone. Again, you can have different views, but it honestly breaks my heart that this is what she comes away with after all these years of covering the NFL. And, you know, the hotly debated critical race theory thing, not going to get into that here, but I will say I would love for her and for everyone to read a piece at MississippiToday.org about Brittany Murphy, an Ole Miss law student, former president of the Teenage Republicans of Mississippi, who took a class in critical race theory with much protest from her family and friends and came away saying, oh, actually, there's a lot of value in this because we should really be learning about history. It's not about making white people feel bad. It's about actually learning about history and race theory, which is important in this world. We can't whitewash everything. And I'll get off my soapbox now.
Michelle Knezvik, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Can I just say for a second, you said Michelle for your worst in sports, and my head perked up so quick before you said her last name, and I was like, oh no, Joe, where are you going with this?
Michelle Knezvik playing Chelsea Dagger.
It's the worst thing in sports.
Okay, so I'm going to start with my worst thing in sports. Juwan Howard, the whole handshake line this week and the fight between Wisconsin and Michigan, just as a coach, just you're supposed to be a leader for these young men, and it's never a good look getting physical on the court. And also, I mean, as far as his basketball team, they're looking to get a couple more wins so that they can get into the tournament. They're one of those teams that is not locked in for the NCAA tournament right now, and with him out for the rest of the regular season, and it's just not a good look. It's drama that is surrounding the team now, and who knows if they'll make the tournament. But above all else, just not a good example you want to set for these young men coming up in your program. Moving on to my best thing in sports, because you know I'm always a glass half full type of person, guys, and I get off the worst as quick as possible. So heading into my best thing in sports, it is Kentucky basketball related, but Oscar Tshiebwe obviously is one of the front runners for National Player of the Year. And I would tell you guys to go over to Kyle Tucker's article that he wrote on The Athletic, because this is where I got my best thing in sports from. Oscar Tshiebwe has actually not been able to earn NIL money since just this week, because he was having trouble with his student visa. On a student visa, you can't technically have a job. So they've been working really hard to figure out, you know, how he can earn money. And obviously he's the front runner for the National Player of the Year, so there's a lot of money to be earned. But the article really goes into depth about where Oscar came from. He came from the Congo, and how he's actually, with this NIL money, is going to be able to bring his mom over to America. And she's never been able to see a college basketball game of his. So for him, it was so much more than just getting money or getting a flashy car or something. He's going to be able to get her out of the Congo, where she hasn't been living in great living situations, bring her over to America, and she's actually going to get to see him play a basketball game. So for everybody who thinks NIL is not good for players, some of this gets hidden in people getting flashy cars and amazing deals. But for him, it's actually, you know, being able to get his mom out of somewhere probably unsafe and bringing her to America. So I thought that was pretty awesome. Go over to Kyle Tucker's Twitter to read the full article on The Athletic. It's pretty awesome.
Shout out, Kyle. Awesome story.
That was good job by Kyle Tucker on that story. My best thing in sports, I mean, I'm going to take the low-hanging fruit. It's Pecorine getting his jersey retired tonight. Just the circumstance that goes around it. And I watched pretty much every game of his career. It was awesome to watch his time here in Nashville. I think it's going to be a wonderful night here in Nashville, even separate from the game. I think the Predators are going to play well tonight. We'll get to that coming up a little bit later. But just even separate from the game, the spectacle of it all, you know, just kind of taking in the moment and recognizing Pecorine tonight, I think is important. You know, I think him being the first guy to get this done is awesome, and to being, you know, retiring his jersey. I know people have talked about, like, all right, well, what about, you know, David Legwand, or what about Philip Forsberg one day, or what about all these different people? You know, I think one of the cool things about getting your jersey retired is it should be really exclusive company. And I think Pecorine has earned every bit of it. I will add, as a sidebar to that, it's really cool to me to see Shea Weber here this week. We talked about it a little bit earlier. You know, obviously things didn't end great here with Shea Weber, with him getting traded for PK Subban. You know, Shea basically was largely responsible with Pekka for dragging this team through kind of some rough times to get them to the point where they were competitive. And obviously his last game as a Predator did not go well. The Predators moved on. Obviously, it was the right decision. They got to the Stanley Cup final the next year. So I'm not trying to go back down the rabbit hole of revisiting the trade. I think sometimes people overlook how important he was to this franchise. I would put him right there with Pekka in terms of his importance to the franchise during that time. Now, obviously, Pekka went on to become the best player in franchise history and had more staying power and more long-term. But at their peak together, they were equally important to me in terms of bringing this team to what we know them as today. So really cool to see Shea Weber here this week, and obviously a shame that we can't see him playing hockey this year. The worst thing in sports is my quarterback being a troll on the Pat McAfee show. Got my
hopes
up.
Robbie.
Thought something was going to happen. Thought there was going to be a decision made one way or the other, and Aaron Rodgers got on there basically to talk about the cleanse that he's been on, which we've since come to know just a great amount of detail about. So Aaron Rodgers, you know, I love me some Aaron Rodgers. Hope he's still the quarterback of Green Bay. But being a troll, a little bit ridiculous, a little bit much. Aaron Rodgers, my worst thing in sports this week.
Proud of you for taking it to Aaron Rodgers.
And we're all going to do the cleanse.
He certainly deserves it.
And we're all going to do the cleanse. Summer's coming, guys.
Yeah, really got to get on that cleanse. Bring me the Pancha Karma cleanse. Be great. Chris on the text line says, the best thing in sports was one of the Predators games last weekend, listening to the great Pete Weber when he called an elbowing penalty on the Preds and described it as, quote, the old Spanish airline elbowing. It made me laugh. And after that, I thought about it for a second. Pete is great. The amount of things that Pete Weber can do in a broadcast, like in the moment, without really even having to think about it, is really just incredible to me. And honestly, knowing Pete the way that I do, there are many things that he says in a broadcast that people just have no idea about, which makes it even funnier because I do know what he's talking about. And Pete Weber is the GOAT, the greatest of all time.
No doubt. Of course, he also sometimes will just make a reference to someone. Like, you know how a lot of times we'll make a reference, like an 80s movie, look at Michelle, you know?
Yeah.
Like I'll Pete, never know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and Pete will make references like someone from the 60s, and I'm like, yeah, Pete, right, I got
you. Oh, yeah. Lots of Slapshot references in there, too.
Well, now those I'm all over.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to capture the spirit of the thing. Michelle, yes. Put that one on your list, too. Slapshot.
That's right. See, you didn't even ask me if I'd seen it. You're just like, put it on the list because you're obviously right. List. You're obviously right.
I mean, 70s stuff, I'm just going to assume no.
Yeah, I was not even, yeah, alive at all.
I mean, I've watched Citizen Kane, and it came out 40 years before I was born. But yes, I hear you.
That is good stuff. I've watched Citizen Kane, too. We watched that in my high school class one time.
There you go.
I can't say it was great, but it was all right.
Hey, cool. Real quick, Paul on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, says, playing that song, which is what Michelle played before the High Note interview, does not absolve Michelle of her Blackhawks sin. So I just want you to know that. It was a good try, though.
Listen, in my defense, I thought it was, Joe, you cover the games and you're always there. I didn't know it was like a legit thing that everyone knows.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the Preds fans know. Well, they know. Anybody who hates the Blackhawks knows that song well.
I'm sorry.
This has been the best and worst things in sports. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. When we come back, we'll be joined by Steve Lehman from News Channel 5. We'll get his thoughts on all sorts of Middle Tennessee sports in the area. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, we've discussed this pretty much all show long this morning. The report from Andy Strickland yesterday that the Predators are, quote, actively shopping Philip Forsberg. Actively shopping Philip Forsberg was the term that was used. And I talked about it. My initial reaction to that was, okay. Look, I trust Andy Strickland. I think he's a good reporter. He's broken stories before, so I have no problem with the report. My initial reaction was, it's almost a month away from the trade deadline. You're a little bit less than a month. David Poile has made it pretty clear on these airwaves that he wants to sign Philip Forsberg to a contract. Why would he be actively shopping him already when there's still 4 weeks left before the deadline? And in my response to that in my head was, okay, does that mean that Forsberg has told them that he is not going to sign, that he wants to go to market and test things out? Or are they just so far apart contract-wise right now that maybe the Predators are sitting there thinking to themselves, there's just not going to be a way that we can make this work? Those were my first two reactions to that report. Now, as I've said a couple times on the show today, I have been told by a source to me that Philip Forsberg has not told the Predators that he doesn't want to stay as a Predator. Now, again, that does not mean that he's going to sign a contract here. That does not mean that he's not going to be traded at some point. I can just tell you that I've been told that Forsberg has not said to the Predators that he doesn't want to stay here. So that's all I can tell on that part. But to me, that's a pretty important distinction, because if that's the case and he's not said that, I really don't know why, if you're the Predators, you'd be shopping him around at this point, unless you're just convinced that it's not happening.
Yes. And it's very good information, good reporting, and it's important. It's a key piece of the puzzle here, because I certainly had the same thought, like, okay, has Forsberg basically said, look, I want to take it to market. That's just what's going to happen. So the fact that that's a no, to me, just it kind of adds up with what Poile said on Darren Donick and Chase. That was last week, right? Was it the week before? Was it last? It was last week. These weeks can run together. What he said about, again, you know, in fact, honestly, before we get done to the show, I wouldn't mind if we have that handy, listening to that segment again from Poile on Darren Donick and Chase, because at the time, remember some of the reaction was like, "Ooh, things must be going well if he's talking about it." But I was like, it sounds to me like a GM who's, I don't know if annoyed is right, or a little bit concerned, or just feeling like he needs to maybe motivate the other side, give a little public nudge to the other side. That's what it kind of sounded like, felt like to me. And that would kind of add up with this report. Now, of course, where exactly does this report come from? You know, we don't know, obviously. Is there credibility in the reporter? Yes. And I also think that today, as we advance into the day, there's probably going to be some more attempts, at least, to report around this, because obviously this is a huge story in the league.
Yeah, I mean, this is not just a Predators thing. This is, you know, if Forsberg is available, he's going to be, if not the top guy, he's going to be near the top of the conversation in the league. And we just had somebody tweet at me in all caps, like, today is about Pekka. Now, I understand that. When there's a report out there that maybe your best player is going to get traded, we got to talk about it. Sorry. I don't want to be talking about it today, but it is what it is. Like, we've got to be talking about it.
Yeah. And again, so that point is also part of this too, because I just have a hard time believing that David Poile wants this to be happening right now. Yeah. And if David Poile is leaking something to someone, and he, there aren't many like, I'm going to leak this to you, but I'm going to put a week embargo on it.
Yes, you sit
on that for a week and then you talk about it. So I'm sure this is quite an annoyance for David Poile. He wants anything but that to be discussed today, this week. But this is what happens. And this is big news. If there's a change in the trajectory, because it looked, well, even with what he said on Darren Dong and Chase to me, I figured, okay, there's some gap between both sides, as you might expect. Yep. And they'll eventually figure it out. I mean, look, this makes me wonder if they're going to figure it out.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the closer you get to the deadline, the more my eyebrows kind of start to get raised of, is this going to happen at some point? Dennis on the text line says, define actively shopping. It might mean something different to Strickland than it does to someone else. And that's a great point by Dennis. And I think that's an interesting thing to bring up, because we had this discussion, and I had this discussion on Twitter last night too, of, all right, is it okay if you're David Poile to listen to offers and see what might be out there for Philip Forsberg in a trade? Yeah. I mean, I think it's probably happened at this point. I'm sure somebody has called him about Philip Forsberg. I'm sure that, Poile didn't just immediately hang up the phone. So there's nothing wrong with a general manager, seeing what's out there for your player and seeing what the value is. To me, though, I hear the term actively shopping. That signals to me that it's more than just listening. Like, actively shopping to me seems like, okay, it's open season for Philip Forsberg. Give me your best shot and we're making a deal. Like, so I guess actively shopping is in the eye of the beholder. But to me, there's a difference between listening to offers and actively shopping. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but that's a pretty big difference to me.
Well, yeah. I mean, to me, it's you're taking calls or you're making calls. And this sounds like making calls, but the wording is very important. And this is, again, where you got to rely on someone like Strickland to be responsible and understand how important those words are and how the semantics there. I mean, there's a big difference between the two things. So, I mean, I would assume that as a veteran reporter who has reported on other things in the league, that he's not just coming up with a phrase and slapping it on there. I would hope so.
I would hope so as well. I tell you this, you got Predators fans in a stir last night. It's such a big week for your franchise. You got the retirement ceremony tonight, the stadium series coming up. And, I said, call your shot Friday last week. I said, Forsberg signs a contract this week. I did not anticipate trade rumors for Forsberg this week.
Yeah, let's just throw this in the mix too. Let's just have a big Predators bouillabaisse of everything all at once.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737 1025. Attention men, have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, Andrew joins me from Hillside Medical Clinic to tell us all about it. Andrew, what's going on?
Hello there. That's right. This really is kind of sweeping the country. Men are sick of the pill when it comes to ED. They're sick of all the side effects. Well, finally, we have something that works. Hillside Medical uses a technology called wave therapy. A few 10-minute sessions, guys, it delivers pressure waves and opens up the blood vessels enough that we can get rid of the ED completely, and we've helped a lot of men and couples do exactly that.
So, Andrew, what kinds of studies have been done on this wave therapy technology?
Well, that is what is so great, is I think the science is irrefutable. HillsideMedicalClinic.com, you can read 50 third-party studies. Everybody from universities to hospitals have studied this, shown it to be safe and effective, so much so that I think the pill will someday be a thing of the past.
And Andrew, I hear you have a special offer if our listeners call in right now.
We do. Guys, put a stop to your erectile dysfunction. Get rid of the pills. It only takes a few sessions. Call us now. The exam, assessment, and blood flow ultrasound with our doctor, that's free. And this gift that you'll love, it produces immediate results in the bedroom. Worth hundreds of dollars, call us now. It's totally free.
That's right, guys. You can put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer at 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic today at 615-576-5000.
Is your hope to try and have that done with Philip, you know, before the deadline, or is that what I'm reading into this?
Absolutely, that would be the goal for sure. I mean, we've made that clear to his representatives, and Philip wants to play here, and we just have to, you know, keep talking and see where this takes us. And so, you know, in previous weeks, I've said we've got a long time, and I clearly recognize now that we're getting closer to it. So I think that we need to, both sides need to, you know, bear down into if we want to make this happen, we both gotta, you know, put our best foot forward eventually here.
That was Preds GM David Poyle last week on Darren Donick and Chase discussing contract negotiations with Philip Forsberg. We were reacting to a report last night from Andy Strickland that the Preds are, quote, actively shopping Philip Forsberg. And Joe, I guess listening back to that, there's part of the, you know, there's a thing that stands out to me there that we didn't really talk about at the time. And he does say, you know, Philip wants to be here. So, and then it's just a matter of, you know, figuring out the term and the dollars there, but you heard it there in the clip. Poyle said, Philip wants to be here. That's what if that's the case and he wants to be here, that's another thing that signals to me. He has not just walked in there and said, hey guys, you know what? Really appreciate the good times here, but I'm out. I'm going to be going somewhere else this offseason. But, hey, let's have fun until then. Let's keep playing.
Yeah. He also said bear down, is the Chicago Bears slogan. So we got a big Chicago sports theme going today.
Hub Arc is going to be really excited today.
Oh, man. I assume Porth is too busy raising a child now to be yelling at Hub Arkish as often as he should, but he'll get back. He'll get back in the saddle. Now I will say on your point there, there's probably audio from a few years ago where he said Ryan really wants to be here, right? Speaking of Mr. Suter. I mean, I don't know, but could
probably.
Be.
Probably. Look, honestly, I think, and I wasn't there, in like the, obviously the room with Ryan Suter and David Poyle. So I don't know what Ryan Suter told David Poyle. I can tell you from covering that team back then, there was never a sense to me that Ryan Suter was going to stay here. I think Predators fans honestly really overblow that sometimes in terms of like him just deceiving the Predators the whole way. I'm not saying he didn't deceive them. I just think remembering being around there at the time, I never got the sense that Ryan Suter was going to stay. That's just me.
Okay.
That doesn't necessarily mean that I perceive things the right way. I'm just saying there was never a time. I always thought back then of Weber and Rene and Suter, which we talked about yesterday. That was the big decision back then. Suter to me was always the one that was by far the most likely to leave.
Do you think that situation has any influence on what's happening right now from the portal perspective?
I think so. I think it does. I mean, I don't know how you could just ignore it. I think back to, you know, the Jimmy Vesey situation of you're trying to bring in Jimmy Vesey. He was a guy the Predators drafted. He went through 4 years of college at Harvard. And when you do that, you've got the opportunity to be, you know, a college free agent at that point and basically pick your destination. So I think it was they made it pretty clear that Vesey wasn't going to sign with the Predators. And he said, all right, well, I'm going to trade you. And somehow he got like a, I don't remember exactly what it was. I think it was like a fourth round pick out of that trade when he was going to leave anyway. So I think it impacted that. I'm sure it's something you think about if you're David Poile. I just go back to this. Like if it comes to where you can't come to a deal with Philip Forsberg by the deadline and you trade him, what does that do for this group right now? How much do you care about that if you're David Poile and the Predators? Like, is it, yeah, this is going to affect our team this year, but long-term, the vision is more important. We have to get something back for Philip Forsberg. I mean, if you ask different Preds fans, I think they'll give you different responses on that.
Yeah, and look, it wasn't that long ago. I mean, I said, and it was when they were in a little bit better position. It might have been when they were, you know, first in the West or right behind Colorado. But I said, like, well, if you have to look at Forsberg as a rental, then look at him as a rental, because this particular season has a chance to really be something. But, you know, you go through a down stretch and you're a little bit more closer to the, you know, you're a little bit closer to the fringe of the playoffs than you are to the top of the conference. And I mean, just for me, I think of it a little bit differently. It really does rise and fall with the fortunes of this team in my mind to some extent. But at the same time, whether they're doing great or terrible, whatever, like if you're poor, you have to have a great sense for what the market is and what you could potentially get for him in a trade. So you have all options available to you.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. And look, we've talked about this. If the Predators trade him and they make the decision that they're not going to reach a deal and they trade him, it's going to be hard for me to, you know, fault David Poile for that. Like, I would imagine the return for Forsberg is some combination of either a couple of picks and a prospect, or maybe a pick and a couple of prospects. Like, it's, you're going to get a pretty good haul for Philip Forsberg coming back the other way. So I understand the idea if you're a Preds fan out there that says, well, if you're not certain he's going to sign, you have to move him and get what you can for him. What I keep going back to in this report is, what does actively shopping mean? Because if actively shopping means you're listening to calls, that's a much different conversation than the one we're having right now. Like, I would honestly, like, if you're David Poile and you're not listening to calls, you're probably not doing your job, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, another thing is, like, if this wasn't Predsapalooza week that it is, I'd be more inclined to buy the possibility that Poile floated something.
Yep.
Even though I don't think that's typically how he operates, you know, it doesn't mean you never do something. And this is a major, major situation, and he's been burned before. It's just hard to buy this week, you know? I mean, that to me, the week we're in makes me think that's less likely.
Kyle on the text line says, I say trade him regardless. He's going to cost too much at this age. We have too many big contracts right now. I don't believe we're a serious contender right now. So let's continue rebuilding the franchise. That's the thing, but they're not rebuilding the franchise.
Right. They're not in a rebuild right now. I mean, they moved Arvids and they moved Ellis, but this is not a full rebuild. And in fact, it could be not that at all. You know, I mean, obviously if they do end up signing him, then you are saying here, this era right here, it's adding maybe to it. And, you know, there is some cap space coming and trying to go forward with this group and see what they can do. And that's the whole thing. I mean, you say they're not a contender anyway, and I can buy that. But I can't sit here and say that, like, the Preds doing this team as constructed, as it has played a lot of this year, doing damage in the playoffs would completely shock me. Not with that goaltender.
No, it wouldn't shock me either. Now, look, I mean, I think if you're looking at the situation in terms of, all right, well, Forsberg's not going to sign, so you go into a rebuild, that's fine. If he makes it clear that he's not going to sign, then the conversation is different. If your position is just trade him anyway because he's going to cost too much, I understand the cost part of it. But if you're just trading him anyway, you're then now going to go on a search where you're trying to find somebody that plays like Philip Forsberg. And we know how difficult has that been for this franchise. How many homegrown guys have you had that played like Philip Forsberg? The answer is zero.
Never.
Yeah. Now, I understand Philip Forsberg, you know, he got traded when he was 18 years old. So it's technically, I guess you could make the argument he's homegrown because he's basically been here his entire professional career outside of the first part where he got drafted by Washington, but he never played for Washington. But even still, like drafting and developing forwards, that has been an issue for the Predators. And, they've drafted some good forwards. They've not drafted an elite forward. So if you're trading Forsberg away, you're trying to find a guy that eventually comes in and replaces him. And as we've seen, that can be very difficult to do.
Exactly. This is not – because I've heard a lot of that. Well, trade him for picks, you know. This team isn't very good, et cetera, et cetera. Like, I think some people don't get how good he is and how rare he is in this franchise. And that's what you have to keep that in mind too. It's very hard to find guys like that. And it has been very hard for this franchise, obviously historically, traditionally outstanding at finding and developing defensemen, been much more of a struggle with forwards. And I mean, when's the next Forsberg come along? If you move him, you may find that you have to, but then I think if you move him, then I think you're pivoting to a rebuild.
Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. When we come back, it is time for Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Preds taking on the Stars tonight. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number one will have a chance to guess a goal scorer for the Predators tonight. If you get it right, you'll win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Preds in action tonight, taking on the Dallas Stars. And the standings in Preds Pick to Click are as such. The listeners, now a bit of a cushion in the competition. They have 14 correct answers. Joe Rex Road in second place with 12. Robbie with 10. And Michelle Konezvic creeping up behind with 7. Michelle's been on a heater.
Slowly but surely, guys.
So we'll see if that continues this time around. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com, and welcome in today's participant, Thomas from Murfreesboro. Thomas, what's going on?
How's it going, you guys?
We appreciate you taking time to join us. So, Thomas, who is your pick to click tonight for the Predators as they take on the Dallas Stars?
Well, I hate to take the cop-out answer, but I got to go with the man of the hour, Philip Forsberg.
Thomas, we appreciate it. Philip Forsberg, the selection tonight by Thomas in Murfreesboro.
I hope he gets traded today, Thomas, just for you doing that.
Forsberg, the selection by Thomas. Joe, you are up first today in our portion of the competition. You are picked to click tonight for the Nashville Predators.
Can I forfeit this and get a first pick over the listener? Like, if I forfeit the number two pick, can I trade up?
No, we are not trading. Can I trade up
for a future conditional first round pick?
You'll have to take that up with the suits, as Darren McFarlane would say.
Let's see. Would that be Chase McCabe then?
That'd be Chase McCabe. Yeah.
He looked very nice yesterday at the Pecorino lunch, by the way, for the record.
Sure that he did.
Oh gosh. Who's going to score against Dallas? I'm trying to think of something that goes with Pecorino night. No, I'm not picking UC Saros to score a goal.
Come on, Joe. You got it.
Yeah. But I'm going to go with possibly the next number to hang. Okay. 59. I'm going to go with 59.
I like that. Yossi, the selection by Joe Rextro. Michelle Konezvic, Forsberg, and Yossi off the board. Your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators.
Well, I was going to go with Yossi because I picked him last time and he scored.
Good. I'm glad.
Ha ha, Joe. But.
Yeah, just keep playing Chelsea Dagger over there.
I think I'm going to go with, back to my roots, Ryan Johansson. He has not scored in quite a bit. And I think it's time.
Ryan Johansson, the goal scorer tonight. I thought you might go with Patrick Kane there, Joe. What do you think of that? Just keep that thing going.
Do I go Kane or Taves? I just don't know.
Forsberg, Yossi, and Johansson off the board. I mean, this has got to be as far as Matt Duchesne's made it in a long time. I'm having the same struggle I made the other day between Duchesne and Jeannot, and I picked wrong the other day. I'm going Duchesne. Give me Matt Duchesne to score tonight. I think he gets one in the back of the net tonight on the power play for the Predators.
See, this is BS too. How do you get Duchesne with the last pick? Ah, this is terrible.
He was right there for you.
I know. I'm not blaming you, but come on.
Joe picks first, and he still is like, how did you get him, Robbie?
Well, I know, and that's the thing. Now it guarantees Duchesne will score tonight because I just didn't immediately take Duchesne. I've done that too, and it's worked out. I totally botched this. But at least I'm not a Blackhawks fan on the radio in Nashville.
Am I?
Apparently.
People on the text line sometimes.
People on the internet are saying it, so it must be true.
No. Because I just thought you didn't like the song and I knew they play it, but I didn't know that Preds fans knew it.
Yeah, I know. We've heard your explanation.
Joe is just making up lies now.
I know.
You've been a Blackhawks fan in disguise all along.
Okay,
Wolf
and Joe,
in sheep's clothing.
And Joe, you are a Michigan State fan. You're a Vandy homer. You're a Vols homer.
Exactly.
Bring them all on.
I love the team you hate, and I hate the team you love.
As Keith on the text line points out, Joe, this could be an opportunity once again for you today to really deliver a speech that you gave the last time we saw Pecorine in goal for the Predators. That may involve, a certain old phrase of, winning one for the Gipper. And you tried that one time with Pecorine. This could be applicable again today, maybe for the last time ever. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's true. And I actually even brought up Newt Rockne's speech with a high note.
You did.
Earlier. I was actually worried. I was like, wait, does he know what that is? Yeah. Yeah. Hockey guy, you never know. But no, I will not be doing that. I will not be saying that. I did. I'm writing about Pekka today.
Yes.
And so I went back and read some of this stuff from last year, and I had forgotten that I actually made a joke about that in my column when he announced his retirement. I wrote, like, win one for the Peck.
Yeah, win one for the Pecker.
Stop!
win one for the Pecker.
One of the great moments of all time in the history of Robbie and Rex Road.
That should be an FCC violation to play that two times in a row. Let's add that to Michelle's list of sins today.
I don't know that I've ever laughed as hard in the history of this program as I did that day. That was good stuff.
Yeah, a fine day for the program.
Day Jeremy Pruitt would be proud of on the program.
It really was. For people who don't believe it, I'm sure some, like, it was a totally honest mistake, I swear.
It was.
I mean,
I'm sure it was, Joe. I'm sure, Joe.
Well, you're the one who keeps playing it, so, I'm keeping a list.
Oh, man.
Why don't you mix that in with some Chelsea Dagger, like scratch a little bit, Like, get Chelsea Dagger, Chelsea Peck. Well, no, never mind.
No, Joe, stop.
All right.
Just really digging that hole. Just keep going. Oh, man. So, Joe, what do you think of this matchup tonight? I mean, it's Preds Stars, so you know what it's going to be anyway. Like, there's not going to be any easing in. It's going to be physical. These two teams really don't like each other. It was a parade to the penalty box the last time these two teams played each other. How do you factor in kind of your normal emotions of, number one, it's the Stars. Number two, they're right behind you in the standings in a playoff race. And number three, you're retiring the most beloved player's jersey in history tonight that most of these guys played with at some point in their career. How do you think all of that together flows into what we're going to see come out on the ice tonight?
Yeah, it's a great question. We've talked about the whole, again, I still haven't found the website that has, I mean, this is a worthwhile website. All of the sports results of teams that honored someone or even like banner raising ceremonies of any kind, and then how the team did. we know the Titans have had some struggles with, you know, big honoring people days. And so my buddy Vinny from Nolensville was at the Lundquist ceremony. He's a huge Rangers fan from New York. He was actually at the Peck Arena thing yesterday too. Huge hockey guy. He went to that. They lost that game. So it happens. Certainly there's no guarantee. You would hope that it would help the Preds. Like, but then again, would they not already have maximum energy? It's the old cliche of controlled aggression that you need to you know, you need to be contained and you need to not be overly emotional. Are they going to be too emotional tonight? Yeah, we'll see. But, you know, if you can get this win right now, you know, they have a game in hand. But if you can get this win in regulation and open back up a 6-point lead on them, that's big right now. And I understand that, you know, there's still 30 games after that, but that would be a really good response to make it 2 wins in a row, reopen the 6-point lead and kind of stabilize yourself going into the next big event for this team and franchise.
Yeah, would be a huge response. Stars won last night in overtime on a goal that had to go to review. They went 3-2 against Winnipeg. So, I mean, we're getting close to the point where Winnipeg, unless they just start playing much better than they are right now, they're going to play their way out of it. They're not there yet, but they're going to play their way out of it if they keep being as consistent or as inconsistent as they've been as of late. But from Dallas's standpoint, I mean, that's a huge extra point they got last night to get that win in overtime. And if they win tonight, like if Dallas wins this game in regulation, they're 2 points behind the Predators with one game in hand. So you're talking about maybe essentially being even at that point. So this is it's a massive game tonight for the Predators. I get it. Like you said, it's game 52 of the season. It's a massive game tonight for the Predators.
And they do play, I think, a couple more times. So, you know, you have those 4-point games still to come, but, yeah, it's going to be really interesting. You get an hour of. By the way, did you see someone tweeted us? I don't know if it's real or not, but it's like the rundown of the whole thing. Did you see this?
I saw it. I have no idea what that is.
I read it. I mean, there's not. It's just it's mostly a listing of like who's going to speak at this time, then who this person speaks at this time. So it's not like it's a fleshed out, you know, what they're going to say. And I don't know if it's real, but hey, thanks for sending it to us.
Looks real,
but yeah, I mean, it looks legit. There's a lot of stuff leaking out these days around the Nashville Predators. But an hour of that, you know, they're going to have – I guess it's going to be over at 6:45. So they're going to have, you know, about 45 minutes to have their normal pregame routine. But that's just going to be – you know, that's just a very different situation, obviously, than you normally have as a hockey player. So how does it affect the Preds? It's going to be very interesting to find out.
Lots of great responses to your win one for the Gipper speech on our text line.
Oh, goody.
WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I'm glad this has been revived today on the text line. We'll continue the discussion on the Predators. Take your thoughts on Pekka Rinne. What is your favorite Pekka Rinne memory as a member of the Nashville Predators? 615-737-1025. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.